Hello all, and thank you for joining Vontobel Quality Growth's Emerging Market Equity Podcast. I am Ben Falcone, Client Portfolio Manager for Vontobel Quality Growth. I'm joined today by Jin Zhang, our Portfolio Manager for Emerging Markets Equity here at Vontobel Quality Growth. So Jin, you know, in what has been a pretty tumultuous quarter, to say the least so far, you know, can we just start off by you describing, just in general, what are you seeing in the first quarter in terms of performance across just the emerging market equity asset class?
Yes, sure. So EM equities sold off quite significantly during the first quarter. Late in the quarter, when the COVID-19 virus started to spread outside of China, EM markets fell by about one third across the board. It's been rather indiscriminate selling. Every country in the MSCI EM index fell. Every sector fell in the whole quarter too. Now, even consumer names came down quite hard. Now, some of that can be explained by the fundamentals. For example, people worry about beer consumption when restaurants and bars are ordered to close. But some of the names came down for no real good reasons. For example, Unilever, a global consumer-oriented company that's not focused on beer, actually came down pretty hard too. So the sell-off has been really quite indiscriminate. But that said, I would highlight that the oil and gas names is the sector that had the biggest hit.
Yeah, so I think what you're describing is more, you know, there have been some differences, I guess, on the fringes. But I guess amidst the volatility and at the time that we're doing this recording, with a couple of days left in the quarter, and we are at this time closer to the depths of the market declines, now, how can you describe the process from a portfolio management perspective of managing through, you know, this type of time period?
Well, sure. When the virus hit and spread rather quickly, that is quite a situation, right? So in a situation like this, you have to really double, triple check your companies. Basically, there are three buckets that they fall into. The first bucket is businesses that are challenged short term, but as well as long term. You know, things have changed. If they are facing serious challenge, even in the longer run, you have to sell those. A second bucket are really businesses that are challenged in the short run, but the long run, they're quite okay. And the third bucket is businesses that are not immune in the short term, but they will actually do better in the long run. So we try to increase our exposure to the third bucket. So if you look at businesses, for example, that are exposed to online gaming or online entertainment, we like businesses like that. We also like businesses that run conservative balance sheets. So those are businesses that can gain market share in this kind of environment.
Any examples there that you could just, any companies that have this kind of short-term impact, but long-term are kind of okay that you could touch on?
Sure. Yeah. One example would be in the online business area, Alibaba. But in addition to that, there are these businesses that are doing online entertainment. So, you know, when people are really cooped up at home in China, actually we see businesses like Tencent Music is actually holding up quite well. So those are the kind of businesses that you want to really increase exposure. Even when people are coming out of this, they have actually formed a new habit. The business have gained customers.
I got it. Okay. So even though the market's not making kind of a distinction today, you know, where you're able to kind of prune the strategy, you know, and position it well for the long term. And this is an opportunistic time to do that.
If you can sort of survive the short run, you can actually take opportunity of the dislocation in the market.
Okay, that makes sense. So when you think about emerging markets in totality as an asset class, you know, do you think that typically the big worries are that when there's a global recession, emerging markets tend to get hit worse, or when there's a strong dollar, it tends to impact emerging markets, you know, negatively? I guess, you know, seeing what we're seeing today, and it's pretty obvious, I think, that we are at the, you know, start, if not already in, a global recession that could be the most negative we've seen for quite some time. You know, how do you think about EM as an asset class for people who are worried to just have exposure there?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, on the question of the dollar strength, you have to make a distinction between the short run and the long run. In the short run, you want to be very careful about your country exposure, because there is a squeeze on dollar liquidity. So you need to avoid countries that are overly indebted, especially those that are indebted in dollar. So luckily, most major EMs have been through crisis, and they have been issuing debt actually in local currencies, not dollar debt. So take the example of Brazil, right? That their government debt predominantly is in the Brazilian real. So over 90% of the government debt is in their own local currency, not in dollar. So in the short run, that is the key to survive. You have a balance sheet that will allow you to survive the short-term squeeze. Then if you look at the longer run, right, I think it's actually a very good time to allocate to emerging markets. That is because the major EMs have learned their lesson from past crises and are really adhering to fiscal discipline. And then you compare that with what's happening in the developed markets, right? We are seeing very significant loosening of fiscal policy as well as monetary policy. So, you know, taking the example of Germany, right? They are talking about a package of 750 billion euros, right? So now I understand that some of that are supposed to be just temporary relief, but we all know that once these kind of policy get loosened, it is very, very hard to put them back. So I think you should allocate assets to where there is fiscal discipline, and the major EMs are really pretty good places to be.
And that makes sense. And this dollar strengthening thing, even though it's happened somewhat significantly the past couple of weeks, there's been a spike. I mean, it's really, there really has been a strong dollar for years, right? For 6 or 7 years now easily. So it's not like this is, they haven't been dealing with this. So that makes sense already. I guess when you think about the COVID-19, right? And China started off at the epicenter, but that now seems to be moving westward, and it's more in Europe and really, really globally. You can't really hide from it, right? But a country like India seems to be in an earlier stage, as well as, say, a Brazil or a Mexico or a Russia. Now, do you think from this perspective, is the worst behind us for EM, or is it just starting? And how do you think about that in terms of kind of timing of investments?
Yeah. So in terms of the virus hit, right, I don't think the worst is behind us. You know, a lot of these countries are actually at the early stage of testing, reporting cases. So, you know, we are going to see worse news coming from that in the coming weeks and maybe even months. But on the other hand, you know, the market is forward-looking, right? The market has really come down quite a lot. It is expecting that basically every economy on this earth will just have to suffer. So if you look at the how do you position the portfolio going forward, basically the key is still having strong balance sheet, right? That is the foundation of your franchise strength. We talked about the countries having strong balance sheet to survive and avoiding currency collapses. That was sort of what has hurt EMs in past crises. But you also have to look at businesses, right? The businesses needs to have really strong balance sheet, have financial strength, right? That is a very good foundation of their franchise strength. So we are looking at businesses that can do that. If you can do that, you can probably sustain even a period of a big decline in your revenues. You can probably still extend financing to help your suppliers. And with that, you can probably take market share from the weaker players.
Yeah. If we dive into some of the performance on the fringes where we've seen some underperformance and outperformance, I guess, first of all, with energy related businesses, right? So they've struggled this quarter, and that makes sense because of the Russia-Saudi dispute on top of, you know, coronavirus hurting demand. And then with a lot of supply coming onto the market, oil prices getting killed, and it's a very fragile sector. So, you know, as a quality manager, not a lot of exposure there, so not too worried. But on the flip side of that, are you surprised that areas like Chinese banks have seen some of the relative better performing businesses in this time period?
Right. Well, so that's not exactly surprising because, you know, that's just reflecting the fact that China went into this virus hit earlier than other countries, and they've been coming out of it earlier too, right? So the market is just reflecting that. But to me, the lesson there is, you know, as long as we take this virus seriously, we take the right measures of, you know, self-quarantine, social distancing, we will come out of it all right. So if you look at the business itself, the Chinese banks are really very much still policy banks, right? The government is asking them to basically, instead of, you know, foreclosing on businesses, they should just give them extension of loans, just forgive them for not paying, some kind of a regulatory forbearance. So that is okay from the perspective of the economy, but not always the right thing to do from the bank's perspective, right? But that is basically what the state-owned enterprises tend to do, right? Their priority is always more on the policy side than for the business alone. So in the long run, you know, are these really the best businesses that we should own? I don't think so. Yeah, you know, I think there are better businesses elsewhere.
Yeah, and shifting gears, you know, another big exposure is India within emerging markets, and especially from a quality aspect. They just started to institute a shutdown of many areas, many provinces within, and many states within India. You know, and the country's so big. Do you see it following the same kind of typical process, I guess, that other countries have? Or are there differences there? Do you think it'll be different than other countries?
Yes. So, see, India is a very large country. They really have all these, you know, different regions, right? So the implementation of the nationwide lockdown will actually be different. They're talking about 21 days, but we'll have to see how it is really executed in the different places. And really just between major cities and the rural areas, you know, I think there will be differences. The major cities will very much need the lockdown like we are doing here. But in the rural areas, situations are different. A lot of people are living, you know, sort of a hand-to-mouth, if you will, right? So they will have to relax that. But overall, you know, I think if they do the right thing for their own respective regions, they will also be able to tough it out. One thing that is going for them is that it's a really fairly young country. The percentage of population over the age of 65 is only something like 6%. So that is very, very different from, say, in Italy, right? So that is, you know, one big difference in this particular crisis. So hopefully, you know, they will be able to find a balance in sort of weighing the human cost, which is, you know, unfortunately, is still going to be there, versus the economic cost. So you have to think about the businesses you own and also think long term. So for example, there are IT services companies. They are actually exposed to global demand. They are making mission critical services to a whole bunch of companies, say the Fortune 500 companies from around the world. So they will survive this crisis for sure, and it will actually thrive in the long run.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, we've spoken a lot about taking us through the process of how you manage this type of time period and you know, the negatives that you just have to kind of deal with today and see through them from a long-term perspective. But do you see, you know, we touched a little bit on, you know, businesses that are being impacted negatively, but do you see any positives out there? And also, are there any areas where this time period you see a longer-term impact from supply chain issues, or do you think we just get through this and it return to business as normal?
No, I don't think we'll return to business as normal. You know, I think the supply chain is going through really significant changes. The long-run implications are something that we are watching very carefully. But on the positive side, you do see some trends are really accelerating. We mentioned online games, online entertainment. People are staying at home. People are also working from home. So one thing that companies have been struggling a bit is actually bandwidth and IT capacity. So you can see that something like cloud adoption will actually accelerate after this, even after people go back to work in their offices. So with that, you know, you will see demand for semiconductor will continue to increase. So you can think about basically the server farms that is enabling all these cloud-based services. And inside these server farms, you need memory chips, logic chips. All these are really very much in long-term demand. So these are areas that I think you can really think about the growth for the years to come.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think you've, you know, throughout this conversation and this podcast, you know, you've talked about businesses and understanding how they're impacted in the short and long term. And, you know, that is something that should be an advantage to an active manager with concentrated holdings as opposed to passive. You really need to know your companies and how they're going to be impacted for the longer term, even though the market necessarily hasn't really reacted yet that way because it's been more of an indiscriminate sell-off, but it's a great opportunity here for the active manager, I would argue. So thank you, Jen, for all of your insights again. It's been very helpful. And thank you all for listening in. We look forward to updating you on this year at the end of the second quarter as we update this podcast. But thank you and be safe, everyone.
Disclosure. This recording is for information purposes only, and nothing contained in this recording should constitute a solicitation or offer or a recommendation to buy or sell any investment instruments, to affect any transactions, or to conclude any legal act of any kind whatsoever. Except as permitted under applicable copyright laws, none of this information may be reproduced, adapted, uploaded to a third party, linked to, framed, performed in public, distributed or transmitted in any form by any process without the specific written consent of Vontobel Asset Management. To the maximum extent permitted by law, Vontobel will not be liable in any way for any loss or damage suffered by you through use or access to this information, or Vontobel's failure to provide this information. Our liability for negligence, breach of contract or contravention of any law as a result of our failure to provide this information or any part of it, or for any problems with this information, which cannot be lawfully excluded, is limited, at our option and to the maximum extent permitted by law, to resupplying this information or any part of it to you, or to paying for the resupply of this information or any part of it to you. Keep in mind that past performance is not a reliable indicator of current or future performance, and forecasts are inherently limited and should not be relied upon as an indicator of future performance.